Hello, we are getting into conflict today. It's all about mediation and how to get rid of bad members of your committee. I'm Jimmy Thompson. I write the Flat Chat column for the Australian Financial Review and I edit the flatchat.com.au website.
And I'm Sue Williams, property writer and author.
And this is the Flat Chat Wrap. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Jimmy.
We're talking about mediation today. Have you ever been to mediation?
Yes, I have, a couple of times. It wasn't very satisfactory.
Oh, really?
I think my expectations were a little bit too high, but maybe you'll tell me what I was doing wrong.
Well, tell me what your expectations were.
Well, I guess I kind of expected the person in charge of the mediation to listen to both sides and then make a ruling to say that I was right.
Right.
And that didn't actually happen.
Two things there that wouldn't happen. Depending on who the mediator is, because some of them are very good. A good mediator will listen to both sides. A bad mediator just takes sides, and neither of them will issue a ruling. Well, not in New South Wales, anyway.
No, well, I kind of think if a bad mediator, they'd be good mediator if they took your side.
Yes, well, I think that's generally that's people true. Would say he's a good mediator, he agreed with me or she agreed with me. Mm. So mediation, this is in New South Wales and elsewhere, is a precursor to action at a tribunal. Now, for most things in New South Wales, it is a mandatory precursor. You have to go to mediation if you want to take action at the tribunal.
So that's in hope of them finding a solution before it goes on?
Yeah, the theory is that you will go in there and chat about it and suddenly go, oh, I've just realised there's a possible compromise here. Yeah, it's compromise. Everybody gives a bit and everybody gains a bit. That's in New South Wales. Other states have different systems. In Victoria, you have to have an internal disputes resolution system. Did you know that?
No. Is that kind of the same thing, really?
No. This is in your apartment block. They have to have organized so that when you say, I'm fed up with my neighbor constantly drilling every night, they have to have a system whereby they can attempt to mediate a resolution.
Okay, so they nominate somebody on their executive committee, or they bring in an outside consultant.
Or they bring in an outside, somebody who actually knows what they're doing, which is good.
Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
No, that is not mandatory. But then when you go forward with this to make it official, Victoria is weird because apartment owners or residents can go to a dispute resolution service, which I'm writing about in this week's Fin Review. You can go to a dispute resolution service and they will try and sort it out for you. The owners corporation doesn't do that. They go straight to the tribunal. And if you take your owners corporation to the dispute resolution thing, they don't have to turn up. So it feels kind of slightly pointless, but maybe it's just the way I'm presenting it.
And does it cost money?
I don't think so. I think it used to be here in New South Wales, you had to pay a fee for mediation. That's gone. It's all free now. But also in New South Wales, you can say that you want mediation against somebody and they don't have to turn up. You do, because you started the thing, but they don't. So, and a lot of people just go, well, look, I'm just going to wait till this gets to the tribunal.
Right.
So they do claim a very high success rate in their mediations, but I'm not sure what their actual measure is. I don't see a column under people who got fed up and just gave up, which I suspect is quite a large proportion.
Sure. I remember the last time I went to mediation or something, the other person didn't turn up and the mediator actually phoned them on their mobile.
Right.
And the person really didn't want to have anything to do with it, but the mediator was so insistent that in the end he was driving his car and he was in Melbourne and it was a Sydney dispute, and the mediator made him pull over and did the mediation by phone while he was sitting by the side of a road. Which wasn't terribly satisfactory, and I could hear him getting more and more annoyed. But in the end, he kind of agreed to lots of compromises, and I think it was purely because all this traffic was whizzing past him, and he was late for an appointment, and he just kind of thought, I can't be bothered to continue this.
It's all a matter of timing then.
Yes.
Now, in Queensland, if you want to go through the mediation and tribunal process, you have to prove that you've tried to resolve this personally.
Okay, well, showing them emails and things like
that. Yeah, you know, saying I spoke to this person and they refused to take part. You know, they didn't want to talk about it, or they told me to get stuffed or whatever. So before you can even go to the mediation thing, you've got to have shown that you've tried to do it yourself. Then you've got to do the mediation. Then you do the tribunal. But it's interesting, in Queensland, the whole strata thing comes under their Attorney General's office.
Oh, gosh.
Or the equivalent.
Yeah.
So you're going straight into a quasi-legal system right from the off, which I think probably helps, to be honest, because I am not a great believer in, I shouldn't say this, but I have my doubts about mediation.
Right.
And I say that as someone who's just launched a case. But mediation can work and should work to help people resolve their disputes, because that's what you want at the end. And I think that's the mistake that a lot of people make. They say, I'm taking you to fair trading, and they expect fair trading is going to say, wow, this person has been badly treated, you've got to pay a fine or something. And that's just not going to happen, as you discovered.
Yeah. I guess it's good to be able to solve something at mediation, because then you're not actually paying big sums of money, and it doesn't allow the dispute to drag on, and both sides become really, you know, angry and bitter and...
Yeah.
You know, kind of sour, really. So maybe it's good to actually nip it in the bud earlier with mediation if it works.
Do you think there's a cathartic element to going to mediation? Like you get to get it all off your chest and the other person is forced to listen?
Yeah, I think so. Because that can be really handy, especially in a situation where they're not prepared to listen.
Yeah, but then they probably wouldn't turn up anyway, would they? I have been told that some of the most successful mediations occur when one party or another is absolutely certain that they're right. They go into the mediation thinking, I am totally right. I don't have to concede anything. And then when the mediator says, well, maybe you're not 100% right, they start to go, oh, right, now I have to think about this.
Sure, because I guess they become very defensive when someone tells them they're wrong. But when it's a mediator, they actually have to listen.
Yes, exactly. All right, so we've sorted out mediation. We've got that under wraps. Actually, we know somebody who is a professional mediator, and she refuses to do strata stuff.
Because she finds it so complex and people get so angry. Yeah, that's right. She's done some, I think, but after a while she decided to stop. She prefers doing corporate mediation because I guess it probably pays more money as well, to be honest. But the disputes are probably much easier to resolve, I would think.
Well, there's so much at stake. You know, as somebody said to me once, that the reason philosophers get so involved in heated arguments is because the stakes are so low. Okay, well, after this, we're going to talk about taking the disputes to a whole new level. And that is, what do you do if you want to get rid of one of your committee members or even the chairperson of your strata scheme? That's after this. Okay, we're back. Now, just imagine that you're in a scheme where you've got a despotic, neurotic, psychotic chairperson, and you want to get rid of them. How do you do it? Do you know, Sue?
Well, you can organise a coup.
Right.
You can get lots of people to sign a petition saying that you want to hold an extraordinary general meeting.
Right.
And you hold that extraordinary general meeting, and you get rid of your executive committee and replace them with a new one.
That's pretty major.
It is. I've been involved in that process once, and it's really hard work. And it involved a couple of us standing at the reception for people coming in and asking them to sign our petition. And it was just awful, and it dragged on and on and on.
And you can't do it secretly then.
No, you can't.
Suddenly.
So it is difficult, but there are circumstances in which perhaps there's no alternative, and that, you know, you have to take extreme measures. But is there a better way, Jimmy?
Well, the other way is to wait till the AGM for the election. And I'm absolutely convinced. I mean, I'm even I, having studied them 1,000 times, I look at all the rules about who's entitled to vote at an AGM and who isn't. And I reckon you could just go through all the rules in the law and in the regulations and just knock off all the other candidates. You know, like two people who are joint owners in an apartment can't both be on the committee. It's only one person per apartment. But if they own two apartments, then they can each be nominated. You can't be nominated by somebody who is standing for election themselves. So there's all these little things. And I've been at meetings where the committee says, oh, we're all nominating each other, right? And everybody goes, oh, well, that's fair. Nothing you can do about that. And you sit there quietly going, well, that's all totally illegal. None of you should be elected. But then you'd have to stand up yourself to do it.
Yeah, and so, we actually know someone who, professionally, they're a lawyer, and they run a side business in coming into AGMs and kind of disrupting them almost by actually throwing the rule book at everybody all the time. And that, yeah, it's kind of a horrible kind of thing. I never really...
Yes, I know the person to whom you refer. Brilliant lawyer. It's since been struck off, I believe.
Yes, but not because of that side business, I don't think. He probably still does that.
Yeah, well, he could. You don't have to be a lawyer to go in and disrupt a meeting.
No, that's right.
But let's just say you don't want to throw the whole committee out. Can the committee get rid of their chairperson?
I think so. Can't they just say they want somebody else?
They can. They can't get them off the committee.
Because they've been voted onto the committee by a general meeting.
Yes. So they can only be removed from the committee by a special resolution at a general meeting. But they can say, look, we just want somebody else in that job. Now, that is in New South Wales and Victoria. I thought that you had to say, we take one vote to declare the position vacant, and then we take another vote to elect a chair. Or not just a chair, it could be the secretary or the treasurer. All you do is, you've got to put it on the agenda, first of all, but you say, we're going to elect a new chair. And then you get there and you say, I nominate Joan to be chair rather than Jeff, and everybody has a vote, and if Joan gets more votes than Jeff, then she's the new chair. So it's a lot simpler than you would think, and it's basically the same in Victoria. Queensland it's really very, very, very different. Did you know, for instance, you can get kicked off a committee in Queensland for not turning up for two successive meetings?
Wow. There'd be lots of committees in New South Wales and Victoria.
Empty.
Yeah. Two successive meetings
without the permission of the committee.
Wow.
So, you know, you have to write to them and say, is it all right if I am not here next meeting as well? Because I wasn't there last meeting. And the committee can go, oh, yeah, all right, fair enough, hang on. But if you're somebody who's just joined the committee for no good reason, or joined the committee because you wanted to put down timber floor, and you've got your timber floor and you can't be bothered to turn up for any other meetings, you can get kicked off. You can get kicked off your committee in Queensland if you are found guilty of an indictable offence under the law.
Oh, wow. Well, that's quite a good rule,
isn't
it?
That's a great rule, yeah.
You know, if you are convicted of fraud or embezzling money, you don't really want to have that person as a treasurer.
No, but the strange thing in Queensland is that their committee elections, first of all, they elect the office bearers. So you have the chair gets elected at a general meeting, at the annual general meeting. Somebody nominated as chair, they get elected. Somebody nominated as secretary, they get elected. I don't think a treasurer comes under this. Maybe they do. And then they elect the rest of the committee. So the chair and the secretary are already in place, elected by the general meeting. So they cannot be removed by the committee.
So it's back to front, really.
Yeah, you have to go back to a general meeting and say, we're going to elect a new chair or treasurer or secretary. So it's a bit different. But then they do have those good rules about non-attendance. Quite strict.
Yeah, but presumably if a committee wanted to get rid of a member that they didn't particularly like, could they call meetings for difficult times that they knew that person couldn't make?
And then not give them permission not to attend.
Yeah.
That would be...
You could call a meeting at
sneaky.
3 a.m. or something, but yeah.
Very sneaky, but I think doable. So now we know how to do a coup in your building. When we come back after this, we're going to talk about some of the funnier stories that have crossed our desks in the past week or so. That's after this.
I don't know what they have to say. It makes no difference anyway, whatever it is. I'm against it. No matter what it is or who commenced it, I'm against it. Your proposition may be good, but let's have one thing understood. Whatever it is, I'm against it. And even when you've changed it or condensed it, I'm against it. I'm opposed to it. On general principles, I'm opposed to it.
He's opposed to it. In fact, indeed, that he's opposed to it.
For months before my son was born, I used to yell from night till morn, whatever it is, I'm against it. And I've kept yelling since I first commenced it. I'm against it.
That was the late, great Groucho Marx singing I'm Against It from the movie Horse Feathers. Now, Sue, you've found a few people who seem to be against just about everything.
Well, yes. When I was away on assignment checking out apartments in the Balkans,
yes,
I met a Melbourne architect called Danny Matsaris. And he was over in the Balkans because his father was a famous sculptor. And he did a very famous sculpture in Budapest of Shakespeare, which was widely acclaimed throughout the world. So anyway, Danny was there doing a homage to his dad. And when I was talking to him, he's been 45 years an architect in Melbourne. And he's done this series of cartoons, which always comes over very well in a podcast,
yes,
I realise.
Looking at them, they're hilarious.
About crazy neighbour objections to,
right.
Because he's been frustrated over all his years of neighbours objecting to DA to development applications for all sorts of things, for apartment buildings, for houses, for extensions. And he says people will object for any reason, most of them absolutely ridiculous. And it was kind of interesting. He'd love to do a book about it. He's been talking about a book, and he's got this great collection of cartoons, all from his own experience and those of his colleagues.
Mm.
He kind of says that it's just that when neighbourhood disputes come up, or when, you know, someone lives in an apartment and somebody next door wants to do some work, it brings out the absolute worst in people, this torrid emotions, kind of
yes.
Territorial.
Which brings us back to what we were talking about earlier, about mediation and,
exactly.
And getting rid of your chairman. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And it was things like a woman he knew once objected very strongly to an extension that he was trying to design for one of her neighbours. And she objected in every single way she could possibly think of to this building. And he didn't understand why, because there seemed to be no basis for them whatsoever. And he finally found out it was because she had this lover and she wanted her lover to move into that building.
Oh, right.
She wanted the person to become so frustrated they'd sell, and she wanted to move her lover in, so he was just handy next door.
Wow.
So she could sneak out while maybe her husband was asleep or something. I don't
wow.
know. Yeah. And another neighbour objected to a television aerial on a building being slightly over into their airspace, and basically said the reason for his objection was that birds were scared to fly over them.
Right. Birds were scared by the aerial.
That's right, yes.
Wow.
And a neighbour excavated to the boundary line, a metre and a half deep, without any waterproofing, and then objected to his neighbour's extension, saying that had caused damp in his house, not
oh,
his
wow.
own building stupidity. And somebody else objected to a building saying that she'd be able to see it when standing in her bath. Now, how often do you stand in your bath? I don't stand in my bath too often,
ever.
Really. Yes,
no.
Exactly. So, yeah, so it was actually really interesting, some of these cartoons he had. A neighbour claimed that every single piece of gardening that her neighbour did had to be subject to a gardening permit.
Wow.
And he said, look, obviously some people, you know, have a reason to object, but for every one sensible objection, there are often 50 baseless objections, and he reckons we're becoming a nation of whingers.
All right, NIMBYs.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well,
I mean,
can you have NIMBYs in apartments? Because you don't have backyards.
Well, no, that's right. But maybe it's not in my
balcony
space aerial.
Balcony something beginning with Y.
And he reckons that people are objecting more and more. And it's because they're frustrated and there's so much more development going on and they feel really disempowered by the processes that are available to them. And I'm sure there's something in that too.
Yeah, you just reminded me of a couple of stories I heard very, very early in our careers as writers about strata. One of them was about a person who objected to their neighbour placing an African witchcraft mask in their window facing out onto their garden. So they every time they looked up this window, they were getting the evil eye from this African mask. And the person who put the mask there said, well, they shouldn't be looking in my window.
Oh, touche.
Yeah. I don't know how that was resolved. And there was another one about, there was a woman who went to fair trading to have the person upstairs to ask them to urinate on the edge of the toilet bowl rather than directly into the water because their bathroom was above her bedroom and it woke her up at night.
Oh, no. That would be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I think fair trading declined to make an order because they weren't prepared to send anyone to check whether it was being done or not.
Oh, no, that would drive me mad too. That would be horrendous.
Yes.
Some other neighbours objected to an apartment building going up on a empty block of land because it would ruin their shortcut to the beach.
Oh. Well, there was that case in the Central Coast recently where somebody had built a house with beach access, which he thought he was entitled to, and then discovered that the beach front or the area belonged to somebody else, who fenced it off. So he had this house with no access to the house, no legal access to the house. The road at the back was blocked off and the road at the front was blocked off. There was no way he could get to his house.
Wow, except by helicopter.
Well, yeah. And of course the value of the house, you can
plummeted.
Imagine. Yeah.
So how was that resolved in the end?
I have no idea.
No.
Maybe they moved the house.
Wow.
Well, usually these things are resolved by the application of large
money.
Sums of money.
Yes.
Yes. Buying a right of way, you know, you're over a barrel. Somebody knows that your house is going to be worthless unless they allow you to create a path to the beach or to the main road.
Sure, and they say nothing all the time you're building it to wait till the moment to strike.
Yeah, we had a case near here. There was a back lane round the back of some houses, which had been the old night soil lane, you know, and they, you know, where the night soil collector would come at night to empty the buckets. And, of course, long unused for that purpose. But it belonged to one house. And the owner of the house was frustrated that people were using that laneway to drive to park the cars in their own backyards. And he would put gates up and padlocks would be broken, you know, people would just keep using it. So he put in an application for an apartment block, which was about 3 meters wide and very tall and thin.
To block it off.
To block it off, basically to force the people in the houses to come and buy a share of the access way off them, which
wow.
is what happened.
This is what we've become, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah, we're terrible people in apartments. All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Sue. That was short and sweet and fun and interesting. There's always something going on in Flat Chat, so we'll keep you up to date here on the Flat Chat Wrap.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I don't know what they have to say. It makes no difference anyway. Whatever it is, I'm against it. No matter what it is or who commenced it, I'm against it.
Well, that's the Flat Chat Wrap for another week. If you want to get this podcast automatically, please subscribe, and if your service allows it, please give us a rating if you like us. If you want to know more about living in apartments, come to flat-chat.com.au. There's a very lively forum there where you can ask and even answer questions, or you can read my column every week in the Australian Financial Review. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Jimmy Thompson. Talk to you again soon.